Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
About the time my daddy left to fight the big war, saw my first pistol in the general store. The general store. When I was 13, thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen.
I asked if I could have one someday when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs, she really blew up. She really blew up, and I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand.
The devil's right hand, the devil's right hand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand.
The Devil's Right Hand, that's a song that was written by Steve Earle, performed here by Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and Kris Kristofferson, known collectively as the Highwaymen. It's a song that illustrates the conflicted feelings that some people have about handguns. The right to bear arms, it's in the Constitution, and it's been a part of American history and folklore, from the Revolution to the settling of the West to the present day. But America has also become a country in which handgun violence and murder has, to some people, become an epidemic, particularly in our cities, where gun control advocates say that the violence is simply out of control. They say the answer is in reducing the number of guns on the street and limiting where they can be carried. Gun rights advocates say the answer is to allow everyone to carry guns out in the open or concealed so everyone has the right to self-defense. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Since Wisconsin became the 49th state in the Union to allow concealed weapons, we have been struggling with the implementation of the law. Public buildings and campuses, including the building in which this radio show is originating, have posted signs banning concealed guns. The General Assembly this past week removed many of the requirements for training in order to get a concealed carry license, and the requests for those licenses are now in the tens of thousands. We're going to be looking at this topic from a variety of perspectives today. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking to Jim Clark. He's the manager of Central Wisconsin Firearms in Wausau, a new gun store that has been offering concealed carry training. And we'll also have, as our guest, Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst, a concealed carry advocate. We'll be asking Mr. Tiffany about our guests on the first half of this program, three Wausau citizens who were arrested protesting a rule that prohibits the use of cameras in the General Assembly Gallery, even though loaded guns are now permitted there. Samantha Masterton is the Religious Education Director of the First Universalist Unitarian Church of Wausau. Matt Powers is a small business owner, and Wayne Olson is a Vietnam veteran, three people from very different backgrounds who found themselves involved in a common act of civil disobedience. We'd like to hear your opinions. We're sure you've got them on this topic. Our phone number is 1-800-780-9742. And again, you can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. And as a disclaimer, I am a member of the First Universalist Unitarian Church of Wausau. Now, as I understand it, Samantha, Wayne, and Matt, the three of you traveled to Madison to deliberately break the rules in the General Assembly Gallery on November 1st, which was the first day that loaded guns were allowed in that gallery. Even though guns are allowed, the rules prohibit visitors from taking pictures or showing signs. So the three of you took pictures and showed signs until you were escorted out of the chambers. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Samantha, tell us what happened.
Well, I understand that... This was a organized protest. It was called Concealed Camera Day, and protesters were invited to bring their cameras and their signs to the assembly gallery and either take pictures if they chose to and display their signs quietly, peacefully, without obstructing anyone else's enjoyment of the proceedings, and if they were asked to put them away or stop taking pictures, then it was your choice to either stop or continue.
So what happened?
I went into the gallery and started taking pictures, and I was asked almost immediately to stop, and I refused and was arrested.
And you did this even though you knew you were breaking the rules. Why did you deliberately break the rules?
Well, I think the juxtaposition of the concealed carry next to the concealed camera rule is just ridiculous. I just think it's insane.
But rules are rules, aren't they? I mean, why not work to change the rules rather than break them? That's the old argument about whether civil disobedience is justified.
And that is an argument that's ongoing. This is the way I chose to do it, and I've done other things as well. This isn't the only act I've engaged in. But, yes, it was a personal choice, and I knew that there would be ramifications for my actions, and I'm willing to accept whatever happens.
And you were escorted out. What happened next? I've seen the video on YouTube. You were handcuffed, correct?
Yeah, I was handcuffed, and they taken down to a makeshift area where they were processing the different arrestees, all of them coming in flanked by at least two officers. And you were written a citation and then told we couldn't return to the gallery that evening and released.
And, Wayne Olson, what was your experience?
Well, I did go there to get arrested. That was my main purpose. And I brought my camera, and I went inside the gallery. I was polite, sat down, and I took a picture, mm-hmm. and a page came and said, you can't do that. So I kept taking pictures. And then she said, I'll have to get the police. And then I kept taking pictures. And then they got the police, and the policeman said, you can't take pictures. So I kept taking pictures. But I did that as saying that this is ridiculous. You can't.
Now Wayne, you're a Vietnam veteran. How old are you?
73.
Were you handcuffed too?
Yes, I was. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of you were posing any kind of threat or any kind of violent action that might have required those handcuffs?
No.
I was baffled. Honestly, I was truly baffled by the handcuffs. I did not understand that at all.
Matt? And to set the record straight, I wasn't arrested. I was escorted out of the gallery and not allowed to return. Why I wasn't arrested, I couldn't tell you. He took some basic information from me, but I was free to go.
And Matt Powers, what did you do?
I held up a small black and white sign of a handgun and a camera next to it that was not even on.
So your crime was holding up a sign, a picture of a handgun. How big was this sign?
It was 5 by 7 inches.
So it was no bigger than a handgun itself?
No.
But the sign was not allowed, although the loaded handgun would have been.
Right, and that was my goal, is to expose the absurdity of allowing semi-automatic weapons in the gallery, but not a picture of one.
Samantha, you're the religious education director of the First Universalist Unitarian Church.
That's correct.
What did you tell your pastor, the Reverend Paul Beckel, as you were heading down to Madison?
Well, I had to ask for the day off, and I did tell him that there was a chance that I might be arrested, and I thought that I should give full disclosure, and he was okay with that. I mean, he felt that, and as I do, that this is not really a partisan issue. This is a nonpartisan issue. This is about freedom and the First Amendment and our rights to protest.
Well, not everybody in that church has the same opinion. There are concealed carry gun advocates who go to that church. Didn't
Correct.
You feel, as a representative of that church, that maybe you should have been representing them,
I
too?
I did not go as a representative of the church. I went as an individual. I did have to ask for the day off. But no, I went as an individual, not a representative of the church.
And Wayne Olson, you're a Vietnam veteran. Some people would say, as a veteran, you fought overseas for our freedoms and our constitutional rights. And one of those constitutional rights is the right to keep and bear arms. Do you feel that you were going against what you fought for?
Well, we have to fight for our rights here now. You don't have to go in the military to fight for your rights. I don't believe in any kind of weapons.
You don't believe in any kind of weapons?
No. I don't believe in murder. I just don't believe in it.
But it is in the Constitution. The Second Amendment says you have a right to keep
your
arms.
Well, you don't have to obey it. You know, I don't want to carry a weapon.
Well, how do you feel about the right to carry concealed weapons? I mean, Wisconsin certainly is not alone in that respect. We're the 49th state in the country.
Well, I feel very uncomfortable about that. I can see having a weapon in the home for self-defense, but I can't see you walking around with it and just looking for trouble. That doesn't work.
And what we could look at here, too, is the Second Amendment guarantees a right to bear arms. First of all, the context of the men that wrote that, it was in the late 1700s. I don't think they could have fathomed the kind of weapons that we have now. So,
yeah, we can let them have muskets.
In the 17
muskets and flintlock pistols,
yeah,
single shot pistols.
Yes.
In the 1700s, they had militias. Militias had to have weapons. That was for militia, for well regulated militia. So, you know, I just don't care about weapons.
How much of this was a First Amendment exercise, a decision on your parts to demonstrate that you ought to have the First Amendment right to take pictures of our public servants, the assemblymen in the gallery, you know, from the gallery, and how much of it was opposition to concealed carry? And Samantha, we'll start with you and then just do a round table here.
For me, it was mostly First Amendment that I was protesting. I'm just seeing a lot of things happening these days where I just feel transparency in the government is not transparent, and so I'm fighting to restore or at least achieve some of that. And so for me, it was mostly the First Amendment, although we did choose that particular day because of the concealed carry and how absurd that is, that you cannot carry in a camera and take pictures, but you can carry in a gun.
Wayne Olson, how much of this was First Amendment? How much was Second Amendment?
99% was the First Amendment. The other 1% was the Second Amendment.
But yet, you're, how do you feel about concealed weapons in the gallery of the State Assembly?
I don't like it at all.
And why not?
Well, because in Washington, D.C., during the Truman administration, there was Puerto Rican sympathizers that wanted the free Puerto Rico, and they fired on the Congress down below. They had weapons. The same thing can happen in Wisconsin.
You're saying it's a public safety issue.
Yes, it is.
Matt Powers, how much of this was First Amendment? How much was Second Amendment?
I went more First Amendment, but when I got there and someone actually gave me a picture of a gun, the real, again, absurdity of it struck home. You know, in this country, we routinely ignore the fact that, you know, 30,000 people a year are killed or maimed by handguns in this country every year. The opposing side seems to think that more guns are going to make us safer when statistically that's quite not the case. You could look at any other industrialized country and they don't have near the problem with gun violence that we have, and they don't have nearly the guns. So I would ask the people that are going to speak in the second half of this hour to address that. How do we explain the level of violence here?
We've got Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst in the second half hour. We will ask him that question. And we've also got Jim Clark, the store manager of Central Wisconsin Firearms of Wausau. We want to hear from you. Our guests, Matt Powers and Samantha Masterton and Wayne Olson, are only with us for another 10 minutes or so. If you'd like to talk to them, this is your opportunity. 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
God!
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. We're talking about implementation of the new concealed carry gun law in Wisconsin. And our guests for the next 10 minutes or so are Samantha Masterton and Wayne Olson and Matt Powers, three individuals from Wausau who were arrested in Madison for taking pictures in the assembly gallery. Cameras, working cameras not allowed, even though concealed carry weapons are. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to our guests for the remainder of their appearance in this first half hour. The concealed carry legislation was signed into law by Governor Walker in Rothschild, and I'm going to play a clip from that ceremony for the three of you. What you're going to hear, first of all, is Governor Walker and also Wayne LaPierre, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Rifle Association.
This is a good day for Wisconsin. This is a good day not only for freedom, but people who care about protecting themselves and, most importantly, their families.
They're the innocent victims of senseless violence. And it's getting worse. As violent drug cartels continue to infiltrate and invade our communities, there's no substitute on earth for the right to own a firearm to protect your life and your family. That's what it all boils down to. Government can't protect us. The right to carry is the difference between no chance and a fighting chance. That's
Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association. Police can't always protect us. We live in a violent world. We need the right to carry concealed weapons just for basic self-protection. Matt Powers, your reaction to that?
Well, Wayne LaPierre, the CEO of the NRA, recently in the Conservative Political Action Committee meeting in Florida, stated that President Obama is merely... stated that he had proof that President Obama is going to take away your guns if he's reelected in 2012. So that kind of speaks to the kind of mentality that we're dealing with from Wayne himself. Again, if these guns are making us safer, why are the statistics consistently showing us much more dangerous than any other industrialized nation in the world?
And forget the statistics. I'm kind of with Wayne Olson here. I just don't like guns. I don't like the idea of them being in the pocket of the person next to me. It's just to me not a way to do business in the world. I like to base it on peace, and I know that sounds very hippie-ish, but it's the truth. I mean, it's really where I am with the issue.
Wayne Olson,
I think guns are terrible. I'm a peaceful man, and I'm not afraid of anything. I mean, it just, a gun doesn't make me feel any better at all. So, you don't need guns.
It seems like a legislation based on fear to me.
Proponents of concealed carry will point to the fact that Wisconsin is now the 49th state in the union to allow concealed weapons, and they say a lot of the things that you folks are afraid of simply haven't materialized in those other states.
I call this law of shame.
And why is that?
Carrying guns, thinking that you're safe carrying guns, that doesn't protect you at all.
What about the argument that there are 49 states now that allow concealed weapons?
Well, I mean, if everyone jumped in the lake, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Samantha?
What was the question?
49 states in the union now allow concealed weapons. And, again, you know, it's hard to get away from the fact that it is in the Constitution.
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, I can't – I feel like I'm fighting a flood that I'm never going to be able to stop. And that's fine. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I moved here from Texas about almost 7 years ago now, and that was a concealed carry state. And I was just really pleased to live in a progressive state like Wisconsin that was not a concealed carry state. And I'm just kind of sad that it's gone that way.
You wrote an opinion piece in the Wausau Daily Herald that's gotten quite a reaction locally.
Correct.
How have you reacted to the reaction?
I try not to take it personally, but it's not easy. I think that a lot of the people who have reacted negatively didn't really read the piece. They acted as if I was whining or complaining in some way about what happened to me, and that wasn't it at all. And I was also solicited to write the piece. I didn't volunteer the piece. I was asked to write it. So a lot of people are saying I'm being bashed for that.
One of the things you bring up is Wisconsin Statute 1990, which mm-hmm. states, and I've got it written down here, whenever a governmental body holds a meeting in open session, the body shall make a reasonable effort to accommodate any person desiring to record, film, or photograph the meeting. So isn't the General Assembly a government body?
Right.
And therefore, by Wisconsin state law, shouldn't citizens have the right to videotape or take pictures of the proceedings?
I believe so. And there's a second part to that statute that says as long as you do it in a way that doesn't disrupt the proceedings. And that's a really important part of that statute that was left out because of the word limit on the article. But that's really important that all the protesters there that day were very quiet, unobtrusive. No one knew we were taking pictures. No one knew we were displaying signs until all the troopers would come and disrupt the row, and everyone would have to stand up and they'd escort these people out.
We're out of time for this half hour. Matt, you've got about 15 seconds to make one more comment.
I just wanted to say one thing. Regardless of whether or not you believe in what Samantha's saying, I want to point out the amount of courage it takes to do something like this. You're in front of everybody, you're giving your opinion, and I'm proud of her and Wayne for doing that, and I was proud to be part of it.
I'm proud of you, Matt, and Wayne.
Wayne Olson, Samantha Masterton, and Matt Powers, Tom Tiffany, and Jim Clark of Central Wisconsin Firearms, up after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Have gun, will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire keeps the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called Paladin.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 looking at the implementation of the new concealed carry gun law in Wisconsin. Wisconsin becoming the 49th state in the country to allow concealed carry. And the implementation has created some controversy along the way. We have a number of buildings, including the one in which this radio show is originating, that have posted signs banning concealed guns. The General Assembly this past week removed many of the requirements for training in order to get a concealed carry license, and the requests for those licenses are now in the tens of thousands. In the first half of the show, we heard from three Wausau residents, Samantha Masterton, Matt Powers, and Wayne Olson, who staged a protest in the gallery of the General Assembly where concealed guns are now permitted, but working cameras are not. And we're going to get a completely different perspective in this half hour from Jim Clark. He's the manager of Central Wisconsin Firearms, which is a new store that's just opened up in downtown Wausau. And also Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst, who is a concealed carry advocate. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good to be here, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
Let's start out, Tom, by responding to the concerns of these three Wausau residents that we had on in the first half hour who were ejected from the General Assembly gallery for taking pictures. Now, as I understand, this ban has been in effect for a while. It's not something that's just happened within the last year or so.
Yeah, that's correct. The gallery is for observing the political process in the state assembly. And anyone that bring signs, whatever, they're asked to leave the gallery. And it's been that way through for years, whether it's been Republicans in charge or Democrats in charge. It's to observe the political process. And, you know, when you hold up a sign, you're distracting someone else who may be in the assembly to view the proceedings that are going on. And I would say that, you know, someone that, if someone is a concealed carry, if they're carrying concealed in the gallery of the assembly, if they hold that gun out like a camera, if they hold it in front of them or whatever, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to ask them to leave the assembly gallery because it's not the time and place.
What about the argument that this is a public body? Assemblymen are elected by the public, and the public should be able to take pictures of them and videotape them just like they should for all other governmental bodies. And again, these protesters pointed to Wisconsin Statute 19.90. I'll read the language again. Whenever a governmental body holds a meeting in open session, the body shall make a reasonable effort to accommodate any person desiring to record, film, or photograph the meeting. What's wrong with that?
There's plenty of opportunities to be involved with the political process before it gets to the floor of the assembly. We have committee hearings. There's a variety of ways. I mean, we saw it earlier this year in the Capitol, people protesting outside of the assembly floor, outside the assembly mm-hmm. gallery. So there's plenty of opportunity to participate in the political process. The other thing that I would say is that, you know, we have a service called Wisconsin Eye that tapes, that first of all shows the proceedings live and also tapes the proceedings that go on. Any member of the public can view the proceedings and see them in a taped version also via Wisconsin Eye. So we offer that service also for people to be able to see the proceedings in the assembly.
When did this ban on taking pictures come into effect? I've been trying to do some research, and I didn't get any kind of a definitive answer, but some things that I read indicated that some an assemblyman somewhere was caught napping on the floor of the General Assembly, and it was used against him in a TV commercial. So the argument is that your critics are saying that some of the assemblymen are just afraid to be caught napping or doing crossword puzzles or end up having something going on that floor of the assembly that might be used in a campaign ad against you sometime.
I'm not concerned about that, but whether that's the case or not, I don't know, Glenn. And how long that ban has been in place, how long the state assembly rules have existed that do not allow photography from the gallery, I don't know how long that's been going on.
Is that something you'd ever be willing to revisit? Maybe maybe look at opening that up to allow people to take pictures if they don't hold up signs.
I don't know. I really haven't thought that issue through whether to allow it or not.
Now, back in the spring, during the protests, the Republican leadership put metal detectors up in the entrances of the state capitol. Why would you put up metal detectors and then a few months later allow loaded guns into the building? If you're going to allow loaded guns, why put metal detectors up when the protests were going on during the spring?
I think it was not only for guns, but also for any other type of something that could be used for a weapon. Put up for those reasons?
I guess, you know, the question is, we live in very volatile times in this state. Passions are running high. And aren't you worried that there might be a public safety issue here? I mean, if you were willing to ban guns with those metal detectors at the start of the year, what's to keep somebody, let's say they're upset about collective bargaining if they're a left winger, they're upset about taxes if they're a right winger, there are a lot of people on the fringes, what's to stop somebody from bringing a loaded gun into that gallery and just opening fire? Isn't there a public safety issue involved here?
Well, I think the folks before us pointed out the case with the Puerto Rican extremists that did that in the United States Capitol. And I would say, I hope there are some law-abiding citizens that are carrying concealed if that would ever happen. Because the bad guys, they don't care about the law. And I think Jim can speak to that. The bad guys aren't going to care about the law. It's allowing the good guys to be able to carry and being able to protect themselves and protect perhaps other people from the bad guys.
Exactly. If somebody comes in and their idea is to shoot up somebody or a place of business or the assembly room or whatever, they're going to do it regardless of whether it's legal for them to carry or not. The idea of concealed carry is allowing those law-abiding citizens who want to protect themselves the ability to.
I'm just thinking that you could put up those metal detectors before, you know, by the assembly in the Senate gallery and make sure that nobody goes in with a, you know, with a loaded gun. And I'm sure there are people who are advocating that.
And that might happen, but then if somebody comes through with a loaded gun and has their concealed carry permit and has their appropriate distinctions or whatever, they'll be allowed to carry on with what they're doing. But if somebody comes in with a loaded gun who has no permit and has a plan to do something, that can be nipped in the butt and taken care of.
I think it is the broader issue behind concealed carry. This is a question I pose to people all the time, is that in regards to concealed carry and whether to support it or not, as the debate has gone on this year and years previous, is I ask them, have you ever been to Florida? You know, and if they say no, I was like, have you ever been to Minnesota? Have you, you know, and most people have visited another state. 48 other states have concealed carry. I said, did you feel uncomfortable when you went into that state? When that plane landed down in Orlando or out in Phoenix, wherever, did you feel uncomfortable? Because they have concealed carry. And so it's something that's proven itself over the years. Because it's really been just the last 20 years that a lot of states have implemented concealed carry, and of course went beyond that now to Castle Doctrine. A number of states have went to that, and there has not been an increase in crime. In fact, I would point people to the author John Lott, L-O-T-T, who has written a book, More Guns, Less Crime, and he has documented how states have reduced their crime rate after they got concealed carry. Now, there's perhaps a variety of factors, but I think he's modeled for to show that there is less crime as a result mm-hmm. of a state going to a concealed carry law.
Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst and Jim Clark, who's the manager of Central Wisconsin Firearms, a new gun shop right in downtown Wausau. We want to hear from you. We're talking about implementation of the concealed carry law. What's your opinion? 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jim, Central Wisconsin Firearms is new to downtown Wausau. How's business been?
It's been pretty good. Can't really complain with the amount of people we've had in. And since we started teaching the concealed carry courses, it's been really people have been thirsting for knowledge. They want to know how to protect themselves safely and by law.
How much of your business do you think is tied to this new concealed carry right?
Well, we picked the right time to start up. Obviously, we wanted to start now and get in on the wave of what's happening.
So concealed carry was really the impetus for you opening that business downtown.
I mean, we wanted to open it anyway, but instead of prolonging it, we said let's get on this now and really get in on this trend and be that shop or person that if you have a question and you have a concern, you can come at us and we can find you an answer.
And you've been training people, conducting training courses for concealed carry?
Correct, yeah.
But a lot of those training provisions have been now taken away by the state legislature. How do you feel about that?
Well, they've gone up and down. I mean, you know, that's the way the law works. The legislators put out a law that they thought was agreeable, and I totally agreed with it. And to make other sides happy, we've had to amend it back and forth, and that's the way
still,
law works.
Are you still offering those courses?
Oh, of course we are, yeah.
But are they necessary, Tom? Do you need to take a training course right now to qualify for a concealed carry license?
I think that really the only change that has come about, once we pass the statute, you know, it goes to the agencies, and they write the rules that implement the statute.
Right.
And so it went to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General came back and said that there needs to be 4 hours worth of training. And he thought he saw that in the law. And we in the legislature said, no, that's not the case. We did not require a minimum amount of training. And so we've pulled that rule that was created by the Attorney General. And we do not believe there needs to be X number of hours of training. We had extensive discussion about this in the assembly. We believe a person should be trained so that they're proficient, whether that takes 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, or 10 hours. train until you're proficient. So we didn't want to set a number of hours to reach proficiency.
But this is J.B. Van Hollen. He's a Republican Attorney General. He's in your own party, and he put forward these rules, or at least supported them, saying he thought they were necessary in order, you know, as a public safety issue. Why would you go against your own Attorney General?
Well, first of all, we do not move lockstep. I can certainly speak on behalf of myself. I don't move in lockstep with any part with the Republican Party. I mean, certainly I share their principles. That's why I'm a Republican. But I support Democrat initiatives sometimes. And we just it was not a matter of political party. It was a matter of what we thought was doing the right thing. And meeting the intent of the law, I think it's one of the greatest concerns, in speaking more broadly here, is when agencies take the statutes that we write, and then they write rules that do not reflect that statute. That is what I would call mission creep within the bureaucracy, and that's gotten us in trouble here, both in this state and in this country.
And going along with the hours, the way it was changed, I've had a lot of people come into my course and take my course, and they come in thinking, well, I know everything about handguns. They get finished with me for 3.5-4 hours, and they go, Jim, we need more training. We need to learn more. We don't know as much as we thought we did. And it's really become an eye-opener for a lot of people in this state. They come in, and I had a gentleman, case in point, who 80-something years old, got his concealed carry permit, came in thinking he wasn't going to learn anything, and he came up to me, and he wrote a little tally mark on his sheet for everything he learned, and he came up to me afterwards, after a 3.5-hour course, he came up and said that he had learned 17 things. And for somebody who's been handling handguns their whole life and going from there, that's kind of a nice step up, and that everybody can learn and everybody does need to be trained in some way.
Yeah, and as a legislator, I encourage people, get the training. I mean, you know, it's relatively easy. You can take the hunter's course, the DNR hunter's course, and that applies. But I really encourage people to take a training course because it is a I don't know what the word would be, Jim. It's a significant obligation on the part of it's a responsibility on your part to handle your weapon responsibly.
And there's a lot of liability tied into that. I mean, people have no idea. The last 2 hours of my class is spent entirely on the legal definition of deadly force, when you can use it, when you cannot, and that kind of thing. And people go, wow, I had no idea. Because in hunter safety, they don't teach you what happens when you shoot another person. You know, there's so much more involved with the process from beginning to end than people realize.
And the great thing about this is that it's responsible people that are using this. You know, when I understand from some people this inherent fear of guns.
Well, there are a lot of people, you know, you talk to who say it's so easy to pull that trigger, and they just don't want to sit next to somebody in a movie theater or a concert and have the thought that maybe that guy's carrying a concealed weapon. They don't want to have that basic thought in the back of their mind.
I think Jim would back me up on this. You watch, though, the people that are legally concealed carrying, those are the people you want next to you because they will exercise that responsibility with the greatest of care.
Tom Tiffany, a Republican Assemblyman from Hazelhurst, and Jim Clark, manager of Central Wisconsin Firearms in downtown Wausau, 1-800-780-9742. We talked to three protesters who were ejected from the assembly gallery for protesting concealed carrier in the first half of the show. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Now there was old Al Dexter. He always had his fun. But with some lead she shot him dead. His honking days are done. Lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama. Lay that pistol down.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in Central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
1-800-780-9742. We're talking about implementation of the concealed carry law in Wisconsin. And, gentlemen, during the first half of the program, we played a clip from Wayne LaPierre, the chief executive officer of the National Rifle Association. Association during the signing ceremony in Rothschild earlier this year. I'm going to play another clip for you from a handgun or a concealed carry opponent, a gentleman named John Spiegelhoff of Merrill, who spoke during the state hearing on the subject that took place in this very building earlier this year.
The Council on Children and Families, the National Association of Social Workers, the Wisconsin Catholic Conference, and the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, which is the largest labor organization representing police in the state, have come out against conceal and carry. And I'm not going to go into the pros and cons of conceal and carry versus our laws. I mean, that's been, it's clear you can openly carry a firearm in Wisconsin right now. But I think the issue is greater than that. And the question to ask is, when did we become a society of fear and making decisions based upon fear? The fear of the unknown, the fear of the unidentifiable, the boogeyman that lurks behind the corner that's going to harm us. And you know what? I would submit to you that if you look at the empirical evidence of violent crime as a whole, does not warrant this legislation.
Gentlemen, the rush for everybody to own a weapon and carry it concealed is a manifestation of a basic climate of fear, that we are all basically frightened, timid people who feel that we need to be armed to the teeth in order to protect ourselves from other people, and it's not a healthy development for society.
Well, I don't think it's any necessarily a fear. Am I afraid that at some point it's going to snow? Yeah. So should I probably have snow tires ready to put on my car? Yeah, I probably should. Now, in going into carrying the weapons, it's been human nature over the centuries for people to want to take things from other people or harm other people. It's human nature. And the best thing we can do is have ourselves ready for that potential danger. And again, just be ready for it, not go looking for it.
Well, one of the points that one of our guests in the first half hour, Matt Powers, made is that there are something like 30,000 handgun murders every year in this country. I haven't had a chance to fact check that. I don't know if that's an accurate statistic, but I do know that statistically more people per capita are shot and killed in this country than virtually any other developed nation. And his argument is, you know, more guns isn't going to solve that problem. We need fewer guns on the street. Tom Tiffany, how do you react to that argument?
Let's go back to Mr. Spiegelhoff for a second. He was asked by one of the by the way, I really like your bump music that you've been using
through the
program, Glenn,
thank
earlier.
Thank you. I worked real hard on it.
You did a great job. And he was asked by one of the representatives at that hearing here in Wausau how many states have concealed carry. He had no idea that 48 states have this. And also, it's a Second Amendment right. I mean, we should not take away free speech rights. We should not take away any of our constitutional rights. And this is one of the rights. And I don't think it's so much fear. It's responsibility. People are being responsible for themselves and for their families. And I would go to a couple countries that have implemented pretty strict gun control over the last number of years, England and Australia. They've seen significant uptakes in violence, including what people call gun violence, after they put in place these laws.
How do you feel about the number of buildings, including public buildings, campus buildings, that don't allow weapons inside? The building we're in right now on UW-Marathon County, big sign on the door, don't bring weapons inside. Tom Tiffany, you know, this is a state law. Why are guns not allowed in state buildings?
I believe they should be allowed in state buildings. I happen to be a town supervisor in a town north of here, and I will not be voting to post our building. I think people should be allowed to carry.
I agree entirely. And the thing is if you post a building, you might as well put a target next to it saying, we don't have guns, come in. Yeah, it's kind of opening yourself up to that problem. And B, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but in my opinion, as a business owner, if you put a sign up saying that you're not allowed to carry guns in, if someone comes in and shoots up the place, as a business owner, I'm assuming liability for the people in my shop.
Gentlemen, we are completely out of time.
It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for being with us. Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst and Jim Clark, the manager of Central Wisconsin Firearms of Wausau. In the first half of our program, Samantha Masterton, Matt Powers, and Wayne Olson, three people who were ejected from the General Assembly gallery last week in a protest action involving the concealed carry law. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Special music today by The Highwaymen, The Beatles, Howlin' Wolf, Johnny Western, Al Dexter, and Marty Robbins. Thanks for riding along with us today. I'm Glenn Mobrick Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
Santa Kidder, the youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona Ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red.